Beit Abulafia, podcast number 2, hosted by Jason Kaplan. Podcast music by Jason Kaplan. I am using the Ditto Looper, the 4X, and the Beat Buddy, which together allow me to play the bass line, have a drum track, play the chords and the melody with a little bit of improvisation. And this podcast, I'm going to keep the music going as a nice background sound, which I really enjoy talking over or along with as a background music, and music being one of the key components of this podcast. It seems to fit very nicely thematically. So this podcast is about the state of the world. What do I see going on from my vantage point, broadcasting from Memphis, Tennessee? And what do I see in my neighborhood community, or do I read in the newspapers and in the thought journals? And why I think Beit Abulafia, particularly Rabbi Abraham Abulafia's thinking, along with improvisational music and my own ideas about universal language, I think are so important today. And I'll start by saying that I'm not offering a solution to the problems. I don't have solutions. I think there are a wide variety of opinions on the wide variety of problems and challenges we have. But one thing I do want to offer, a model for or towards a solution, is a model of dialogue, a model of thinking universally, and a way of breaking through groupthink. I see a lot of groupthink out there. I see a renewed interest in tribalism, whether it's intellectual or cultural or political or religious. I think people are very interested in us and them, rather than a society based on individuality, where our culture and our politics are parts of who we are, parts that we discuss. I think that political views and cultural views are becoming a kind of dogma, an unbreakable dogma that offends people if they're questioned or discussed. And I don't see how democracy can continue when the multiple of human activity, the multiple fields of human activity, become dogma, where being offended or being woke or in the right crowd, whether left or right, is essential. So there's a lot of "are you with us or against us? You part of the problem or part of the solution" type thinking out there. And I'm hoping that the music and the vision of universal meditation will help get through that. And I'll say from the outset, I'm an independent in terms of politics. I see good ideas on the left and right. I see really bad ideas on the left and right. And I see in the United States two political parties that are not particularly interested in independence as voters and not interested in independent thinking. They just keep, you know, riling up their bases and going further and further into their base. And I think a lot of people in the middle or independent feel as though they don't have a home. So that's how I see politics. And in terms of religion, I found a home in Orthodox Judaism, but I feel very at home in other houses of worship, particularly with the musicians of those houses of worship. And we really share in a spirit and in a language. And that's really where this project came from. So I'll go more of that in the third podcast, but right now, the state of the world, I really see a lot of anger. I see a lot of disappointment. I see a lot of people walking on eggshells. And there's a lot of fighting for X. There's a lot of going for a big idea and fighting for it. And I see a lot of mistrust and a lot of a feeling of a victimization being promoted, and the victim needs to fight against their oppressor. I keep seeing this model over and over again. And a victim announces that they've been a victim, and then they have an oppressor that they must fight, and this oppressor takes on certain characteristics and must be overcome through numbers and unity in the tribe. And whether that isn't true, I found that it's going through every part of society where people want to view one group as the oppressor group and then one group as the victim group. And certainly there is a lot of injustice in the world, but I'm seeing it as a typeset for just thinking in general of how to solve societal problems is to point out the oppressor and help the victim. I see that both on the left and right, and I don't think anyone has any ownership exclusively on that. And I see people just pulling into their groups. There's a lot of talk about inclusivity or tolerance and unity, but when you look at the facts on the ground, I think people are pulling into their own tribes and making sure that everyone follows the dogma appropriately. You know, there's a lot of truth being associated with dogma. So there's not much in terms of the pursuit of truth. And people might say I'm overstating this, but if you look at the number of events where people want to stop dialogue or stop speakers altogether, where college students are more interested in turning a speaker away than having the actual dialogue, when you see all the way people talk on Facebook or the comments in the different online publications, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, you see most of the comments are, you can't say that. So this is the state of affairs I see. And I don't see how a democracy can continue like this. I think it's a really big blinking red light that we really need to look at. And on the good side, there's wonderful technology out there. I daily see the advancements in medicine from where I work in Memphis. And so there are amazing good things happening in lots of realms of society. My concern is, in a democracy, I'm not seeing the excitement towards dialogue, towards sitting down and talking about where we disagree or agree. I see a lot of talk about unity and a lot of talk about inclusivity, but on the facts on the ground, I don't see that trickling down to facts on the ground. And I think it's because it's so hard for us as humans to get past language. And language leads to the tribe. If you speak a certain way, even with a certain accent, just a slight accent in the language, it breaks people off into groups. And I think the challenge of our day is how, in a pluralistic, multicultural, if I could use the word, and diverse country, can we have one binding idea that doesn't limit us, that people don't feel oppressed by? Because one person's culture is not meant for another person. So we can't, multiculturalism seems to me to be breaking down to multi-tribalism. And diversity seems like certain characteristics of diversity within the big tent of one uniform way of thinking. So I'm wondering where there could be a place where people could meditate not on thinking and not meditating on liberation and spiritual ecstasy, but can people meditate on how language works and how it limits us and how it expands us? So I think through improvisational music, the way I've seen it, if you think about jazz people on stage, interacting together, dynamic communication. Every time I watch a jazz concert, I'd rather be up on stage. That's how I feel. I'd rather not be a passive listener because it's so exciting and fun. And it's just the most ultimate, for me, experience as a person in communication with my own soul or with other people. It's the most ultimate communicative experience, I would say. And my question is, how can we take the joy of that interaction and apply it to dialogue on real concrete issues rather than the abstract sharing of music, which has a concrete structure, but I mean on terms of real issues, whether it's policy or country or international, all those different thoughts, or whether it's religion and doctrine or society and how we should be arranged. How can we take the joy of dialogue, feel that joy, that meditative experience, and then apply it to dialogue with other people and say, oh, I hear what your information, I hear what you're saying to me. Here's why I agree, here's why I disagree, but I've really enjoyed sharing ideas with you. That's where I really think democracy needs a lot of help. There's a big gaping hole there. And if that hole stays, it's festering, it's getting even worse every day, I think. And I'm saying that in the context of a lot of great things are going on around the world. There's a lot of great advancements in other areas. But if we don't have democracy, we don't have much else. That's really the key to human flourishing, is democracy. The open debate of ideas, freedom of speech, and an emphasis on the individual rather than the collective. Now, if the individual wants to choose a collective, that's great. I have my own collective that I enjoy choosing, but I still see myself as an individual. And I see myself as an individual that enjoys communicating, and I know where I disagree and agree with people. And in that way, I see myself enjoying the act of being a citizen of a democracy, where we'll have to debate and think and vote. But at the core, that's got to be the desire to want to talk, the desire to want to go out and meet people, to sit down, and not solve everything through protesting or Facebook campaigns or boycotts or all these things that are going on that might be useful and that might be a tool at some point, but it can't be the core of democracy. And that's what I'm seeing us break down to, that the core of democracy is taking the fight to the streets and taking a stand. And people advocate and say I'm being naive, maybe, that it's all about dialogue. And I think there's a place for a protest, and I think there's a place for taking a stand, but not every single day, not every single issue. And it's not being used judiciously or maybe appropriately on both left and right, and both in religion and in other fields. So that's where I see the state of affairs, and that's why I'm so passionate about Rabbi Abraham Abulafia and improvisational music, because Abulafia's system was about the dissecting of language and breaking it down into its component parts and starting to transcend it and feel the beauty of transcending language, and then seeing language as a vehicle or a tool rather than as an identifier, something that identifies who we are, so that subconsciously controls us. If we can consciously get a handle on language, we can think outside the box and think creatively and push ourselves beyond our comfort zone. And his meditation was a lot about that. And I see it very, very similar in the jazz books and in the jazz study and the jazz music and language, about taking these notes and putting them into a language and constructing and deconstructing them in different ways and seeing the beauty of communication, but also transcending it. So I believe that Abulafia's work over 800 years ago is so relevant to today, and he's been a very minor, hidden figure in Jewish history, and particularly in Kabbalah. There was another school of thought, the Zohar, that became much more popular. It's a very powerful book and a very powerful school, which has a lot to offer also. But I found that Rabbi Abraham Abulafia has a system that really speaks to exactly what's going on in a pluralistic society, and really shows a path that's really inspired my life in Judaism and Jewish observance. I've seen a lot of the connections with his life and jazz masters' lives, and how the both can come together to make a beautiful model of how we could talk, how we could meet, how we could build a democracy, and put the core piece back into place of dialogue, respect, exchange of ideas, debate, and civil acknowledgement that the truth is very difficult to grasp. No one can really have a hold on it, but we can go around the edges of it and debate and get close and close as possible through dialogue. I think that's the vision of a strong democracy. I think we're missing it today. I see something in place of it that's not positive. And I don't have a solution for every issue, and I don't know if reality or the human condition is solvable. But I think there's a better way of going about it. I'm excited to talk about the details in Podcast 3.